Look, we all know that children thrive on routine, but managing their schedules, especially once they go back to school, can be really hard for some co-parents.
Add alcohol use of one of the parents to that mix, and it's an issue.
So on our show, How Not to Suck at Divorce, we know that divorce sucks, but you don't have to suck at getting divorced, which is why we offer guidance and insight into the process so that our listeners will feel powerful and not powerless.
And that's why we've partnered with SoberLink. So when the back to school season comes up, they offer resources on how to help you navigate alcohol use. SoberLink is a remote alcohol monitoring technology created to help prove sobriety when children are involved. And guys, I use this a lot.
This technology is high tech, people. It gives you real-time updates, and it has facial recognition.
You want proof of sobriety in real time? This is what you need to use. It gives you peace of mind.
Here's the good news, you guys. SoberLink is now offering a free back to school and divorce packet that includes a Q&A with our very own Morgan, as well as a back to school checklist, communication tips, and more.
And if you want your free packet today, go to www.soberlink.com/notsuck.
Okay, everybody, we're here on season 3, episode 4.
Know that you're not a gold digger if you want a prenup or your spouse wants to get a prenup.
Prenups are just a contract to modify the law.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
We're coming into some really informative information today with our guest that is upcoming. But before we get to that, we are at the I'm Obsessed segment. Absolutely love it. I'm totally obsessed.
Like totally obsessed.
We've kind of touched on it over the long haul, but I'm obsessed with something that costs nothing. And Andrea and I have talked about it. There's lots of benefits that come from this obsession that costs nothing. And here, people may say, oh, well, this is kind of lame, but it's not. What I'm obsessed with? Walking.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. Yes.
I am a firm believer that walking really increases your endorphins, makes you think much more clear. When you're stressed out, that is the one way that can really kind of calm you down in a quick manner, but also it's healthy. I mean, I used to run a lot, but I also didn't see the happiness in running that I see in walking. And there's nothing better than going to take a walk and talking to a friend, a client, whatever. And I do have a really great story recently about someone walking. So there's two stories. One is, if you've seen Rebel Wilson online, I think she dropped over 100 pounds just walking during COVID. And I also have a personal friend who started walking recently and has dropped over 100 pounds. It's not all about weight loss, but it is about mental health. And when you're going through stuff like this and this heavy stuff is happening to you, let's make sure that you're keeping yourself sane, because like I say, always, if you're not okay, nothing will be okay. Your divorce, your children, your life, your family. So put yourself first. So walking is what I'm obsessed with today.
Walking, walk across the country, walk anywhere you want to. Actually, what I was just thinking about, well, first I thought about Forrest Gump, but I think he ran, he wasn't walking. Number two, do you remember at the end of our episode that we did with Dr. Randy Heller on episode 2 of this season, at the very end, you shared about a way that you and your husband connect, which you guys take walks together at the end of the day and you walk and talk. And then I shared that that's something that Steve and I have started to do and how helpful it is. To walk and have like important conversations or lighthearted conversations.
It's funny, so funny story. Yeah. I actually even walk with my colleagues, my divorce lawyers, who are on the opposite side of cases with me. There are a few that also enjoy walking. We do nights where we will walk. We'll walk for an hour. We talk about our cases. We try to resolve them amicably while we're walking. And then we go have dinner together, because the nicer that you are to one another and the more, you know, helpful things that you're doing together, it only translates to your clients.
100%. And if we want to tie this in to the guest that we have on today, we're talking about prenups. And I think that if you need to have a discussion with your soon-to-be spouse, for those of you who are engaged right now, and you want to bring up a topic that's a little bit tough to sit down and talk about, why not do it while you're walking? Because I know that there is a connection to us moving our bodies and our brains being in a healthy, more open place.
I could not agree with you more. I usually tell people when they're talking about prenups to sit down, have a glass of wine, talk it over. But if that's not your thing, or you want to be even more healthy, and probably the better way to go about it is go take a walk. I agree with you, Andrea. That is the way to go. And because of that, I can't wait to talk more about prenups, because it's kind of the elephant in the room, but we have the prenup queen, as I call her, coming on our show.
I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke dip broke. What?
Wow.
That, so you guys know, that was not Kanye West. That was still me, Andrea.
Did you perform that at your bar mitzvah?
First of all, bat mitzvah. Ooh, I'm a girl. Sorry. Know your Jews. Second of all, I was bat mitzvah in 1994. No, we were dancing to Ace of Base, The Sign, not Kanye. I wish I was that young. But I know what you're basically saying is I'm so talented and I could have been performing.
That's exactly what I was saying. But speaking of which, let's talk about prenuptial agreements or prenups.
Thank God, because I'm freaking obsessed with this topic.
Well, you should be, because prenups are incredibly important and they should not be feared. They can play a huge role in divorce settlements, and they're sometimes really important depending on the state that you live in. I also want to say, unlike Kanye, you should not feel that you're a gold digger if you're getting a prenup or want a prenup. But I'm really excited for this guest because she is one of my very own. She's my girl, in addition to you, Andrea.
That's right. Today, we are talking to Katie Post, who's a fellow family law attorney with Morgan and an expert on prenuptial agreements. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Andrea. Hi, Morgan. Thanks for having me on today.
You're so welcome. We're excited to do this chat about prenups. So let's assume that our listeners know nothing about this, okay? Well, certainly they're not going to know as much as you or Morgan. So let's treat this like a crash course, kind of like a prenup for dummies.
That sounds good. Prenups are definitely mysterious to a lot of people, so I think that's perfect.
And I love this because Katie and I do all of our prenups in the firm together. She's worked with me even as a law clerk many years ago, but she truly has kind of shifted her practice and she's the prenup queen. So I can't wait to pick her brain on our podcast.
The prenup queen. Okay. All right. So prenup queen. If somebody listening is wondering if they should get a prenup, like maybe they don't know if they're qualified for one, because I know from what I know about prenups, back in the day, the story was that only the old money, super wealthy types got prenups. And I know that that's no longer the case, but how would you help someone classify whether they should have a prenuptial agreement?
Well, that's totally right. To a lot of people, prenups mean the scorched earth scenario where one side gets nothing. And the truth is, prenups are just a contract to modify the law. And they can be used to be more generous than a court would be in some scenarios, or to streamline what they could otherwise have as a really lengthy and expensive divorce process. Honestly, anyone can benefit from a prenup, whether they're very wealthy on their third marriage or young and just starting out.
Exactly. And with the right team, you can be very creative, so the agreement is fair to both sides. So that's something to keep in mind. And you shouldn't be fearing a prenup if that's something that's being brought up with you with your future spouse, or it's something, you know, a lot of people come to us and say, my family is making me get a prenup, or it was known that I have to have a prenup, and it feels a little awkward, but don't fear it. Get the right counsel and we will guide you through it.
Okay. So something that you just said makes me think of a question. You mentioned about it being fair to both sides. So Katie, when you and I talked on the phone the other day, I remember something stuck out to me. You were saying that there's basically three things that everyone needs to know about their prenuptial agreement. What are those three things that they have to know before they put their signature on the line?
So to make sure it's fair, like we're talking about, the first thing you really need to know is, what is the law in your state regarding marriage and divorce, and also inheritance? absent a prenup. So what are you working with before you have an agreement like this? Then what are the creative ways that the law can be modified in the agreement? So lots of options for you on things that we can change. And finally, a prenup cannot govern any child-related issues like parenting time and child support. And a lot of people come in not realizing that.
So let's just take a quick step backwards because I love those three things. But remember this, everybody, you have to know what the law is, assuming you do not get a prenup and you end up getting married, because that's the first building block of education, because you can't know what you're negotiating away unless you know what you're entitled to should you get married without a prenuptial agreement. So let's clarify something. A prenup covers three buckets: property and the distribution of property, spousal support, which is known as maintenance or alimony, and basically estate planning. But remember this, it's your lawyer's responsibility to educate you. You must understand everything that you're negotiating. And that's number one, what Katie and I do. We sometimes spend up to three full meetings educating our client. We want to make sure that the client can actually feed back to us what the law is and understand what they're negotiating. So do not feel bad asking questions, and never, never just sign because you feel confused or you just want it over because you just want to get married.
Again, this is like what we always talk about on our show. All roads lead back to make sure you have proper representation, because what Morgan just said is that she'll spend up to 3 hours, three meetings, just educating somebody on this document. So you guys, again, I say this every single episode, I feel like, but it is so important that you have the right kind of representation for you, because you should never feel confused. You should always fully understand everything, because these documents are so important.
And I will tell you that one of the things that happens sometimes with Katie and myself when we are negotiating prenups is if we don't feel that a client fully understands what they're negotiating, or we feel that the client is just going to sign it because the spouse is putting pressure on them and it's a very bad deal for them, we will not represent that client because we do not feel that it's a good deal. And we essentially say, thank you for coming, but please go find other representation. We're not going to stand behind this.
Wow. Okay. I want to go back to something before you mentioned property. And I know that when Katie and I were talking, I didn't know this, but apparently property also can include someone's business that they own. Is that right?
That is absolutely right. So a lot of prenups stem from either businesses that are held before the marriage, or it comes from a family. And people are really rightfully so concerned about getting their business involved or handing over rights where it could be a complex family business. So that is a lot of the times when we see prenups coming into play, is protecting that business.
Meaning like, okay, so, but what about, does it matter if they had the business before they entered the marriage?
So like, that's a good question, because in Illinois, and I'll let Katie expand on it, but in Illinois, if you come into marriage with a business, that is technically your non-marital business, but it can get pretty hairy if you do not get a prenup. And Katie, why don't you kind of pipe in on why it can get hairy if you don't get a prenup?
So if you have a business before the marriage and you're spending your day-to-day time that you would otherwise work a regular job to grow that business, and you're really increasing the value of that, the marital estate can be entitled to reimbursement for all of those personal efforts you expended during marriage. So if you're not taking a proper amount of money and putting it into your joint account to share with your spouse, technically your spouse could be entitled to some of that business, which would otherwise be separate. And realistically, that means a lot of paperwork come time for the divorce and depositions and experts. And that is one of the most expensive portions of litigation that we do in our business. And it can be very easily avoided with a really well-written, well-negotiated prenup.
Does it matter if the spouse, like let's say the spouse is contributing to the business, like what if the spouse is helping out with like the marketing or doing things like that? So he or she is playing a key role in that business's success, but they don't necessarily take home a paycheck. Does that get sticky, or is that, it doesn't really matter?
It can definitely be a factor. And honestly, it's so fact specific that it just depends on the exact case and whether that spouse was considered an employee or paid something, or what, you know, their arrangement was, verbal agreement, written agreement. And it just takes a lot of time and money to really parse through it. So the best thing you can do is sort of set really strict ground rules from the start that you don't have to get into that fuzzy unknown. Mm.
Speaking of fuzzy unknowns, I know like we're talking about sticky things and things going wrong and unknowns. What are things that can happen that would possibly cause the entire prenup to be thrown out, like not hold up in court if that couple does get divorced?
So there are really three main things. The first is if both sides didn't have access to independent counsel, so essentially his or her own attorney. And that's access, not necessarily representation, but Morgan and I, to make sure that our clients are always covered, say definitely each side needs to have their own attorney, needs to really understand the law, really needs to have someone looking out for their best interests in this process. The second thing is if one of the parties doesn't make a fair and reasonable disclosure of his or her assets, so their property, their liabilities, so debts they have, and his or her income, because everyone should be on the same page in understanding the other's finances when negotiating the terms of this agreement. And finally, an agreement that's signed as the result of duress or one that is so one-sided that it's deemed unconscionable will also be thrown out. But these things are very difficult burdens to meet. And you should assume that if you've made disclosures and you have an attorney, that your agreement will be held up.
Wait, what does unconscionable mean though? Like, what is that? How would you know that? And a prenup, like who determines that it's unconscionable and what are those? What does that look like?
So you would have the validity and enforceability of the agreement litigated, and a judge, typically in a bench trial, would determine whether it's upheld. Unconscionable typically means that it's so one-sided that it would result in substantial hardship to one party if those terms were, you know, held up. And realistically, we're talking about a party who would otherwise be on like state aid. Certainly not that someone got only a few million in comparison to the many millions of somebody else. So it's a very difficult situation and unlikely that that would be held up, especially in Illinois. Agreements that are negotiated with those disclosures with attorneys, you know, they're really going to be reliant on you to make a good decision in entering into it and not throw it out.
Morgan, how often do you see prenups when you're representing somebody? How often do these actually get thrown out?
Very rarely.
Okay.
So that's the thing in Illinois. And I will mention, you know, Illinois laws are different than every other state. However, you know, there are some laws that are uniform to premarital agreements, but I will mention that in Illinois, our law is a little bit more favorable than some states, like for instance, Texas, for alimony or maintenance. Mm-hmm. And so in Texas, prenups are usually, and we may bring on a Texas attorney to talk about this, used to negotiate a really good potential divorce settlement because their laws are so unfavorable for people who may require maintenance. So you really need to know the laws going in to see if it's favorable. And I will make one mention. Katie and I get a lot of prenups that come to us after the marriage has hit the rocks. We did not do the prenup. And they say, you know, this has to be thrown out. This was signed 20 years ago. I didn't know what I was signing, even though they were represented by counsel. I didn't know what I was signing. And it was signed a day before the wedding. And I was so stressed out. And all I wanted to do was get to my rehearsal dinner and get to my wedding. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, we have to tell her or him, that's not generally enough to throw out a prenup. I know that it seems stressful. You probably shouldn't have signed it, but now we're stuck with this document and we have to work within those confines.
Got it. One thing that I know I talked about with Katie, and I was kind of surprised to hear this. Can we talk for a minute about the types of attorneys that are used to draw up the prenups and who people should be using?
Yes, I think that's a really important distinction. So a lot of times there's two types of lawyers that can do prenups, a family law attorney, which is what myself and Katie are, but also estate planners sometimes do prenuptial agreements. However, each party signing a prenup must have their own attorney, but we highly recommend having an attorney on your side that's a family law attorney. And here's why. we love estate planning attorneys. They're amazing for the estate planning purposes in the prenup. The difficulty when it comes to prenup planning is that only a family law attorney would really understand the practical scenarios that come into play if a couple gets divorced in divorce court in that state. So sometimes we get prenups that are drafted by only estate attorneys, and they've never been to divorce court, and they don't know that what they drafted is not practical in the court. So just like we, you know, can sometimes consult, and a lot of times on our larger prenups, we bring in an estate planning attorney to talk about the estate planning side because we stay in our lane. I think it's really important that if you're negotiating a prenup, you have a family law attorney on your side.
Well, and tied to that, something else that I learned was that prenups, there's no language in a prenup that should involve children. Is that right? But somebody explain more of this to me.
Yeah, so it's against public policy to negotiate away rights that are technically of the child, like the receipt of child support or parenting time or custody, as it's called in other states. Decision-making is what happens in Illinois. And so those things, if they're in there, that section can be thrown out. And so they shouldn't be in there from the start. And it can be tricky where you're negotiating a bigger payment to someone, you know, if we have a son, if we have more than one child, things like that, that you kind of hear on like Sex and the City and things like that. Right. If that happens, those things could be thrown out by the judge, and then you're sort of left in no man's land, or, you know, subject to whatever the law is there.
I actually know someone who signed a prenup, though, that she was someone who was marrying into an old money family in Texas. And that was part of the prenup. It had to do with having children. And I was like, is this real? So, but in Texas, would that have been held up? I mean, I guess it's, there's no way to know, right?
Well, again,
state to state, it's different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wacky.
That we hear things all the time, and I think people see it on TMZ and all of the gossip news, you know, that a lot of the prenups are tied to cheating. If you cheat, you owe me X amount of dollars. If you, you know, if you step out of the marriage, I mean, those are fun terms. Yeah, you step out. You just step out of bounds. But those are fun terms that, you know, we would love to put in at times, but in Illinois, they're really not upheld. Now, they may be different in California. We see a lot of things in the news about those types of terms there. But what we tell our clients who want those things is it gets really gross when you're really trying to get down to it, to prove cheating, to prove all that. And it's really expensive. So if you can avoid those types of terms, we would always recommend it. So,
Andrea, a recap, because after your recap, Morgan, I've got some stories I'm sitting on that I really want to run by you two, because you know me and my Googling on the World Wide Web. So I've got some crazy prenup stories I want to run by. But before we get off on that tangent, can you summarize everything that people like absolutely need to know walking away from this episode?
Yes. And here's the thing, everybody. This is the tip of the iceberg right now, and we're trying to pack it into 1 hour. So if it feels like your head is spinning, that's okay.
Remember, this is the crash course.
This is the crash
course. Dummies, part one.
Okay. All right. So here we go. What does a prenup cover? It covers property and or businesses, as Andrea brought up, spousal support, which is known as maintenance or alimony, and estate planning rights. It should not have language, at least in Illinois, that is tied to the birth of a child or relates to any kind of support for a child or children. You must have your own legal representation, and so should your other party. And the other big thing is more disclosure of assets is better when you're negotiating a prenup, because that is a big deal if you leave off a few accounts as to why a prenup could be thrown out. So, a lot to take in, but any good counsel will walk you through it much better.
My head is spinning, I will say. And I even know more about this because we talked before. But yeah, I think this is a lot of good information. And this is why, you know, Morgan, this is one of the reasons why doing this show is so important to us, because we know that there's so much out there that people don't know, right? And that's how you make mistakes, when you're not filled with the knowledge that you need to have before you're putting your freaking signature on a document. So important stuff, guys. We're very lucky to have Katie here weighing in. And I'm very lucky because I have the two of you as my captive audience while I read you Tales from the Internet, Prenup Edition.
Ooh, we're ready. So,
this is one of the things that I've read. This one is about one husband agreed to a clause that stated spouse gets paid X amount per years that we're married in exchange for being able to cheat on his spouse once a month. Go ahead, experts.
Katie, you want to take this one?
Honestly, it's probably going to be upheld, but you know, it's just one of those things where, is it more than once a month? What happens if it's that, you know, what if they don't cheat? Do they have to pay the money back? You know, you just have to be so careful because realistically, these things have so many implications that you might not even think of. And frankly, like Morgan mentioned before, to try and litigate whether someone cheated or didn't and owes you money might end up costing you more than you would be entitled to begin with. So for the most part, it really doesn't make sense to put clauses like that in these agreements, but there's a chance that it'll be upheld. So if you are receiving one that's a proposal like that, really think it through and make sure you understand what you're agreeing to.
I mean, come on, people. Well, that also, is a red flag. Like, what? That's insane.
We're gonna get to red flags, but also maybe you need to clarify cheating with what? Is it with a man, a woman, a farm animal? What is it?
A house plant. Right. Totally. I'm so glad you brought that up, Morgan. Here's one. Must live at least 5 miles from in-laws, and they should only be allowed to visit once a month unless they're babysitting.
Ooh, that's a really good term. I mean, that could keep marriages together.
It's very specific. And I love that there's no consequence. It's just thrown in there. Here's another one. Limit of one Sunday night football game per month for the husband and limit one season of The Bachelor or Bachelorette per year for the wife, all which must be watched from the den or bedroom, not occupying the largest TV in the house.
Wow, this is really specific. I'd like to see
who negotiated
that.
I mean, come on, here's my last one. This is a good one. A husband requested that if his marriage ended, that he would be able to pay a certain amount of money in a lump sum settlement. But in turn, he would earn the right to veto anyone his ex-wife would date for 3 years.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, no, thanks. But I
no chance.
Will say that Katie and I have had some doozy of prenups, and you know, there is in our mind a direct correlation between a happy marriage with a nicely negotiated prenup and an unhappy marriage or a very short time before a divorce happens if a prenup comes to us or a proposal that's horrible. So for instance, if we receive a proposal that basically says, you get nothing, I take everything, you should just marry me. Those are the proposals that we say, okay, this is not a good first step forward. This does not look good for your marriage. And, you know, I've had actually a client who took one of those proposals against our advice, and they were married for one month before the divorce. Yep.
Oh no.
So, and then you see prenups come over where it's creative and negotiated well, and it shows that they truly want to be a married couple working as a team. And those are the prenups that generally we see longevity in the marriage because they care and they want to make sure each are okay. Do you agree, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, negotiating a prenup can actually be a great opportunity to have those hard conversations about finances and make a plan for your marriage, what your expectations are. Things that people would oftentimes find really uncomfortable and otherwise avoid, because it really requires both sides to lay it out on the table. You know, what do I foresee in terms of who's working? Are we having kids? How are we going to spend our money? If I make a ton, are we still going to act like I don't earn anything? You know, these things are uncomfortable. And Morgan and I will also say to our clients, okay, here's all of the information. Now go home, sit down with your fiance, have a glass of wine and hash it out, because it's so personal to the couple and the law is so strict and stringent. but really these are your time to decide what's best for you and your future family.
And that's funny because that's what we talked about earlier in this episode, Morgan, when we were talking about your love for walking, right? And we were saying how, you know, a lot of times we say, like, when you need to have a conversation that's heavy, you know, sit down, have a glass of wine. And then we were saying, wait, but what if we're walking while we're doing this? Because we know that when we move our body, we're moving our minds, things tend to not feel so heavy. And that's when we came up with a genius idea of drinking and walking.
Agreed.
While we have these big conversations.
But we need to find a fanny pack that can hold the drink while walking.
Look, I'm just saying, if you see me power walking around the neighborhood, chugging a glass of wine, then maybe you know that we're having the talk. Maybe, you know, me and my special someone are about to
be you're getting into the business.
I am saying she a gold digger.
That's right.
As long as you sober up before you sign.
Good point, Katie. See, this is why you're here. These hard hitting facts that I would not know.
That's so true. So I just want for our listeners to know, remember, if you're getting a prenup, there's nothing to be ashamed of. If you need a prenup, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And what I will tell everybody is that there's no prenup, just like a divorce, that is the same as your friend's prenup or your neighbor's prenup. It's the same as going to a doctor. You don't go down the street to a doctor and say, well, my neighbor had this, so I must have it. That's not how it works. So I just want to thank Katie, the prenup queen, for coming on today. Yes. And if any of our listeners have questions about prenuptial agreements and or they live in Illinois, or maybe they just want to pick your brain, Katie, because quite frankly, we've consulted on prenups all around the country. Where can they find you?
Your lovely listeners can email me at kpost@beermanlaw.com or call 312-621-9700. And I hope they do.
Well, there you go, guys. Reach out should you have questions. I hope that you learned a lot today. I know that I did. Thanks for hanging out with us, Katie. And now my to-do list involves getting engaged and getting a prenup. Let's do it.
I'm there for you when you're ready.
Thank you, Kanye.
Okay, so we are at the Let's Be Positive segment.
And now, a moment of positivity.
Because we're all about positive thoughts.
And negative COVID tests.
That is right.
And I just found this story so relatable, considering the fact that we talk about the fact in the prenup section that you have to be educated before you even know what you're negotiating in a prenup. And if you're not, you really cannot sign a prenup. So I found this story. I just absolutely love it. It basically is an 84-year-old grandmother who could not ever graduate high school because she had financial difficulties in Mexico. And at 84, she fulfilled her lifelong dream of going back to high school and graduating. And she received her diploma in front of classmates that were 70 years younger than her.
Gosh.
I know. And the photo of her could not be sweeter. She's got this huge smile on her face. And, you know, I just feel like, listen, Grandma, you are killing it. And the fact that you didn't have the ability financially to do it before, but you still wanted to do it, just seeing this sweet face, just made me feel good. So that's a positive today.
That is a feel good moment. I like that. That was sweet. That was a nice moment to round out this episode. That's all about knowledge, really, right?
Totally.
Because knowledge is power.
We always say that.
The whole reason why we were talking about prenups today is not to scare anybody, not to make you think that there's something wrong if you need one, or something wrong if your soon-to-be spouse wants you to sign one, or if you have one existing and now you're looking at getting divorced, right? It's all about understanding your situation so that you can make the most informed decisions. So there you have it, people, because like I mentioned before, this is why we do the show. It's important to us that we're offering as much insight and guidance as possible because we don't want you to suck at getting divorced.
And you know that we absolutely love and appreciate every single one of you, all of our listeners. We know that divorce is hard. We know it's draining. And we know that the unknown can feel really scary. Our goal is to offer some guidance and sometimes humor and ultimately help you not to suck at divorce. So listen, if you like our episode, please rate us, review us. We would love to hear from you, but also visit our website at www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com for more information.
We got some new videos up there. So you guys check out our new videos. They're flashy. They're fun. Let us know what you think. And if you liked this episode and you learned something, tag us on your social media. We want to know. Tag us in your Insta stories. If you do a post about it, tag us. Feel free to slide on into our DMs at any time.
Just Morgan, send us photos of Kanye West. We are going to respond.
There you go. Oh, this is exciting. We have a brand new Instagram handle that is just for our podcast. It's small, but it's mighty. So you guys can find our podcast at How Not to Suck at Divorce on Instagram. So slide on in if you guys have a question. We're here for you.
Tell your friends, tell your book clubs, hell, tell your ex about our show. We're here to help everybody. And remember, when you're in the thick of it, it's day by day or Andrea.
Even hour by hour.
And remember, you've got this and we've got you.